I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing Nasser Arabi. He is a reporter from Sana'a, Yemen, joining us again to update us on the terrible war there. Welcome back to the show, Nasser. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you and to all your audience.
All right, so we've got some bad news to cover here. Let's start with just the obvious. Terrible airstrikes in the last few days and innocent civilians killed. Can you please update us?
Well, in fact, U.S. Saudi took advantage of the Christmas holidays, and they committed war crimes against Yemeni civilians at homes, farms, and government offices. And they were the worst, in fact, maybe the worst that ever happened. Let me tell you about the first one. Was in a market, in a very crowded market at the rush hour in Taiz. They hit the market with about 6 airstrikes while it was crowded with shoppers and vendors and normal people from the neighboring villages in Taiz. They killed and injured about 110 people. And the second massacre was here in Sana'a, against also a residential area. And they killed about 19 civilians. 11 of them were from one family. One family, everyone was killed. Mother, father, daughters and son, and everyone. And the third massacre was in Hudaydah, also in a farm. Very normal people, very poor people who were working their farm. 14 members were killed by 3 airstrikes. The fourth massacre was in the Mar, in a government office, which was the customs authority during the working hours. They bombed them with 5 airstrikes. And they killed and injured about 80 people in this office. So about 4 major massacres in 2 days killed totally more than 200 civilians, the United Nations here in Yemen confirmed 109 who were killed, according to their information. They confirmed this number only yesterday or the day before. So this is the extermination and the genocide wars committed by Saudi Arabia with direct support from Trump administration, unfortunately. This is, of course, just as I said at the beginning, this is just taking advantage of the Christmas holidays, because Saudi Arabia wants to mislead, or Saudi Arabia tries to avoid the pressure that comes from the free people, from the human rights organizations, and from the free people in some governments also, like the Congress and some other official institutions in many places. So they wanted to, Saudis wanted to say that this is the Christmas of Yemenis that who are already facing the worst humanitarian crisis in the world that was made deliberately by U.S. Saudis, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a very, very minor controversy here, Nasser, that the Washington Post has been covering the humanitarian crisis there. And in article after article, they just omit and refuse to even mention the U.S. role at all. And I pulled up, as we were talking here, their coverage of the article is called "Airstrikes in Yemen Killed Dozens of Civilians in One Day," but that's just part of the country's misery. And in paragraph 10 or so, they literally have it, I'm about to tweet it, they have it in parentheses that, oh, by the way, the U.S. government is providing the Saudi campaign with significant military assistance, such as aerial refueling and intelligence, and Raytheon is selling the missiles, etc. This is literally in parentheses. You know, like it's a side issue. Like they're talking as though they were saying, back in the 90s, Bill Clinton gave them a bunch of money and guns, or, you know, some almost irrelevant fact or something, you know? Anyway, I'm sorry. It's just,
you're right,
it's
you're
an
right,
important part of the story, and I know that you understand how this is. This is why they don't publish you in the New York Times anymore, is because they just refuse to tell this story to the American people in any kind of real context. And I'm very sorry. Yes. You say unfortunately, and man, you're right. I mean, that is the deal, is Americans just don't know.
Yes, yes, and now it's day by day now. People get here convinced that it's American war, it's Trump war against Yemenis, and the big problem here is that they mislead the American people that they are fighting Iran, and they are trying to fight the influence of Iran here in Yemen. And unfortunately, they are, whether this is right or not, but it is not right in my opinion, but whether it is right or not, they are exterminating a whole nation, a whole people. They are killing and destroying Yemen. So why they won't fight the influence of Iran by exterminating Yemen? Why? This is a big question that everyone should think that it, I mean, the responsibility of this rests on everyone in this world. It is not easy just to say we are fighting Iran by killing Yemen. It is not logic at all.
No, of course it's the big lie, and it mostly goes unexamined. It just kind of goes without saying. Now, anyone who actually is an expert, even hawks sometimes, if they really are experts, will say, actually, you know, the Iranian relationship with the Houthis is not that extensive, and there's not that much evidence of this many weapons or that much support. And I mean, even the hawks acknowledge that if they know what they're talking about. But for everyone else, they just say, oh, it's the Persian Empire. It's, you know, the Houthis are nothing but Hezbollah. They're nothing but a front for Iranian power in Yemen. And so they must be confronted. And that's the end of the argument. I mean, even if it was true, they don't explain why that means that it's okay for us to do what we're doing there. They just assert that that's all you need to know, even though that much isn't even the case, really.
Exactly. And Iran, if they see the reality, Iran is gaining. As I always repeat it here with you, Iran is gaining every day. Iran wants this to continue. Iran is losing nothing. They take advantage of this chaos in Yemen, and they also see that their rival Saudi Arabia is getting weaker and weaker, and also getting deeper and deeper in this quagmire of its crimes here in Yemen. So they are just helping. They are not hurting. They are helping Iran, not hurting it.
Hey, y'all, check it out. I wrote an article for the American Conservative magazine about the safe haven myth. And yeah, I guess I'll have a splash page up there at the Libertarian Institute as well for you. And then, hey, here's how to support this show. First of all, read my book. First buy it, then read it. It's Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And by the way, the audiobook is coming very soon. Now, those of you who donate $20 at scotthorton.org, go to the front of the line to get it first. And then, hey, the YouTube project is steadily progressing. There's, last I checked, there's about 850 of them have been posted up now. The great Eric Schuller, writer for the Libertarian Institute and a great libertarian, he's taken on that project and is doing a great job. The plan is to eventually have all 4,500 interviews and change up there on YouTube. So check that out, youtube.com/Scott Horton Show. Sign up for the feed there and all that if you want. scotthorton.org/donate. As I say, $20 will get you to the front of the line for the audiobook. $50 will get you a signed copy of the paperback of Fool's Errand. $100 will get you a QR code commodity disc. It's silver with no face value. It has a QR code. You scan, it tells you the instant spot price of an ounce of silver. I think it's the greatest currency ever, ever. And a $200 donation to the Scott Horton Show will get you a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audio, libertarian audiobooks, including mine, coming up here real soon. And of course, take all kinds of cryptocurrencies there as well. It's all at scotthorton.org/donate. And hey, if you read the book and you liked it, leave a review on Amazon. If you like the show, leave a good review on Stitcher and iTunes and whatever the hell, you know, some of you like it. And yeah, thanks. All right, now, so you may be aware of this, but Donald Trump has complained publicly on Twitter about the travesty of the blockade, and he put out a press release and a public statement saying that he had instructed his government to complain to the Saudis that he wanted them to lift the blockade. And we're not talking about the whole blockade on all trade, but the blockade that was against or is against the humanitarian organizations, even the Red Cross and the Red Crescent and the Doctors Without Borders and everybody else. And so there's two things here. First of all, I would, you know, like to know the status of that blockade at the airport and at the Hodeida port and anything else that you can tell us about that aid and whether there's been a difference there. And then secondly, you know, if you could address your interpretation of this, that maybe Donald Trump doesn't know that he is the commander in chief of this war, that this is not a Saudi war. This is an American Saudi war that he himself can stop it with a word out loud. He doesn't even have to write it down. He could just say, stop support for this thing, and it's over. And he doesn't seem to know that.
Yes. I think what Trump tried to do on Yemen is just to reduce the pressure that he receives from the Congress and from the human rights groups all over the world, and also from some governments who blame Trump and the US administration. So he said something like this, but it was not, you know, it was not right. It was just to tell the world, yes, I will tell Saudis to stop this. I would tell Saudis to lift the blockade. I would tell Saudis to stop killing the civilians, something like this. But actually, it's not a real thing, because if he wanted to end the blockade, he would have done it easily. I mean, he would have just told Saudis stop it or lift it, and the Saudis would do it. But it was very clear that he was not serious enough to stop Saudis or to stop the blockade, at least the blockade. That is the starvation, let me say, the starvation weapon. That is the deliberate starvation weapon. That is killing people by not giving them the food, medicine, and fuel, deliberately. So Trump tried to reduce the pressure, and also the UK and France leaders took the they did the same thing, and they called the Saudi king to tell him about the blockade. And to be objective, they wanted to do something like this. And for example, the blockade, to reduce the blockade or to ease the blockade, because there was a big pressure. There was a big pressure and embarrassment. Do you know what is it? It is the story of the four cranes. Four cranes for the Hodeidah Harbor, they were bought by the U.S. government, the U.S. aid. And 1 year ago, they were shipped to Hodeidah. In January last year, they were shipped to Hodeidah, and Saudi Arabia urgently forced the ship to return to Dubai. Everybody know this story, and it was everywhere. And this story made a big pressure to Trump in the Congress and with the human rights groups, and also with the UN agency, that is the World Food Program, that was behind the cranes. That was assigned to deliver the cranes and install them in Hodeidah. Now, after all this, after what Trump did, and the UK and France leaders, the cranes are back now to Yemen, and they may be installed in the coming few days, maybe, if Saudi Arabia, of course, stopped the bombings, the harbor. And this will be the only thing that can be achieved. This thing should have happened 1 year ago. So it's now going to happen by delivering the cranes and by installing them in the destroyed harbor of Hodeidah. This is one thing This is the humanitarian side. But for the military side, as you said, Trump is the commander of this war, whether he wants or not, whether he wants this title or not. He is the commander of this war for two reasons. The war was declared from Washington, not from Riyadh, and everyone knows that the green light of the war was given from Obama and then Trump from Washington. This is one thing. The other thing is that Trump is not only leading the war against Yemen, but he is also leading the war against the United States. Why? Because Trump now is enabling Qaeda and ISIS, maybe much better than any time before. I mean, Qaeda and ISIS in Yemen now is exploiting and taking advantage of this war, of this absurd and this stupid war, the best. They are expanding in all directions. They are recruiting in everywhere, and they are also receiving, I mean, Qaeda and ISIS, they are receiving money and weapons from Saudi Arabia, from their leaders in Saudi Arabia. And this is, of course, a golden chance for Qaeda and ISIS, and it makes a very big problem to the American people, whether now or in future, because everybody knows that Al-Qaeda here or ACAP has many objectives to achieve to damage and to harm United States, whether abroad or at home. This is what everybody knows. And Trump is helping them directly now by leading this Saudi aggression on Yemen for three years, and now we are close to the fourth year.
All right, now on this question, it should be pointed out, and there's been plenty of reports about this, that and I think that this must be right. It makes sense on the face of it, that Trump has told the CIA and the military special operations forces that you go after Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Yemen and kill them till you're done and gloves off, go ahead. And yet, in the raids that we know about, it seems like all they've done is kill innocent civilians in trying to, catch this or that high value target allegedly associated with ISIS. None of it seems to, or Al-Qaeda maybe, doesn't seem to ever get anywhere. And yet, overall, just the state of chaos and the war against Houthi power in Sana'a and the North is, certainly creating a whole new set of opportunities for Al-Qaeda and ISIS to, seize territory. We've seen in the past where they've seized towns and seized military bases and all the weapons on them and this kind of thing. So can you parse that for us a little bit and talk about, how severe the war against them by the United States is, the CIA and JSOC drone war and raids, and what effect that has on them? Is it just is it hurting them, or is it actually just growing them in strength and reaction? And then, but also just, the opportunity that the U.S. created failed state there has left open for them.
Yes, let me tell you a very important thing on this point in particular. Trump is wrong. Trump is wrong because of one thing now. Now the people, Trump is receiving now his information from one side. Trump and CIA, unfortunately, they are receiving the information from one side and they point to Houthi now. I mean, the information that Trump receives and CIA also, they point at Houthi as the terrorist, as the threat, as everything. Because the other side is one thing now. The other side that deal with Trump, I mean, the so-called legitimate government and its allies, and they are one thing. Qaeda, ISIS, and legitimate the so-called legitimate government and its allies. They are one thing. They say to Trump, of course, through Saudi Arabia, they say, we are okay. We are a legitimate government. We are fighting Iran and Houthi and everything. So the danger and the threat is there, is in Houthi places. And this is what is happening on the ground. Those people, Qaeda, ISIS, operatives, who are fighting with Saudis on the ground, they are fighting Houthi, and they say the big threat is the Houthi. And of course, even when they give now the information and the tips for the military operations, the American military operations, we see what is the result. And the first operation was in last January, last year, and they killed children and women and a few operatives. Everybody heard about what the Saudi-backed government said. Until now, they are complaining that there was a mistake in killing the people who are commanders in fighting Houthi. Until now, the spokesman of the army of Hadi, blames Trump and his operations for killing that leader, who is from Dhahab House, or the Abdul Latif al-Dhahab. So they said that he was one of the good commanders who are fighting Houthi. This is just an example. But for us, now all the operations, all the airstrikes, about 150 airstrikes by drones, I mean U.S. airstrikes by drones, during this year, they killed very few people who, in my opinion, who deserve to be killed, because they are terrorists, as we know. But they killed, those who were killed were very few, and in comparison to the operations and the airstrikes, and in comparison to the support that is being given to the other people who are also Qaeda. So in general, all the operations of Trump during 2017 made only or resulted in one thing, that is that Qaeda, ISIS now are 10 times more than they were in 2016. 10 times more in terms of numbers and in terms of also of expansion in the places.
And now, do they rule towns? Do they rule towns?
Yes. In terms of expansion, they are now ruling many places in the names of, not in the names of Qaeda. In the names of Qaeda, there are, but not famous cities, but small towns, like, for example, like in Azan in Jabwa, and in Sayoun, and in many places. But let me tell you now about the places that are very famous and that are that are so-called liberated places like Marib and Taiz. They are, the rulers are Qaeda ISIS, but they are not Qaeda ISIS openly. They are brotherhood. And we know now the fighters or the military wing of brotherhood, everybody knows that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are the military wings of these of this organization. Mm-hmm. So let me give you another example how they, for example, in Marib and in Taiz, the leaders of these places from brotherhood are blacklisted by Saudi Arabia and Emirates as global terrorists. Recently, as you heard, and everybody heard, they designated them as what? As global terrorists, like the U.S. Treasury Department did. So, but this did not mean thing, did not mean anything at all, because those people from the Brotherhood are still receiving the money and weapons from Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates to fight Houthi. They receive them directly, and they are in Taiz, for example, the only one or the dominant ruler of Taiz is Abu al-Abbas, who is designated by Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates as early as last month as global terrorist, and he's the only ruler of Taiz, the city.
So, and you're saying, so let me make sure I understand here. You're saying that this guy is not just listed by the U.S. Treasury Department as a global terrorist, but the UAE and the Saudis have also listed him as such, and yet they're backing him. And in essence, we are backing him as well.
This is the funny thing. This is the funny thing. U.S., I can say they may be misled. They may be misinformed or something like that. But I mean the people, the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, they know them by names, and they have some of these people in their capitals, in Riyadh and Abu Dhabi. In Riyadh, let me say Abu Dhabi, you know. But they are supporting them with everything now, with the weapons and money until today. For example, now the Yemen Nobel Prize winner Tawakkul Karman only yesterday posted a tweet saying that United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia are still supporting the people whom they designated as terrorists. They are terrorists, but why they are still supporting them? So she's right. We know that on the ground. This is the reality, because what they say is something is just a propaganda like the propaganda of Mohammed bin Salman, now the crown prince, the Saudi crown prince, when he says that he now lets women drive and lets women go to the stadium of football and all these things. This is just to mislead and misinform the American people about where the terrorism is coming from. I mean, it's very funny. It's something that has nothing to do with the reality. The reality is that Qaeda and ISIS is getting stronger and stronger because of the Saudi and American support with money and weapons every day. And this is the reality that we want. If the American wants to make sure of this, they should force the Saudis to let the international journalists to come to Yemen and see what is reality and who is fighting on ground. But why Saudi Arabia is preventing the international journalists from coming to Yemen? Because of these things.
Hey, y'all, check it out. I got a new sponsor, Zencash. at zensystem.io, zensystem.io, to find out all about it. It's a great new digital currency, but it's also a messaging app, and you can send documents and all kinds of things. Learn all about it at zensystem.io. Also, buy my book, Fool's Errand. It's at foolserrand.us. And also get The War State by my friend Mike Swanson. It's a great history of the rise of the military-industrial complex after World War II. The War State by Mike Swanson. And also follow his investment advice at wallstreetwindow.com. That's wallstreetwindow.com. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. If you want to buy precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, they take a very modest commission, and they take no commission at all if you buy with Bitcoin. That's Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. They're at rrbi.co. You buy your metals, you buy your metals through them. Thanks. Anti-government propaganda at libertystickers.com. And then, of course, if there's expanddesigns.com/Scott. Don't forget that part. If you want a brand new, badass 2018 model website, you go to expanddesigns.com/Scott, and you'll save $500. All right, now, so we've talked about this in the past, but can you talk a little bit, explain why you say Al-Qaeda and ISIS as one and the same thing here? Because, of course, in Syria, the al-Nusra Front and the Islamic State are former allies, but the al-Nusra Front still takes their orders, at least, you know, on the surface, from Ayman al-Zawahiri hiding out in Pakistan somewhere, whereas the Islamic State have broken off and declared, you know, the Caliph Ibrahim and all of this crap with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And yet, and you know, they've killed each other in the past. Obviously, the fighters go back and forth to a degree, but they sure seem to still be enemies, at least last I heard, in Syria. Maybe they'll join back together again. But anyway, so talk a little bit about how it is in Yemen that ISIS takes their orders from Zawahiri there, or al-Qaeda doesn't anymore, or how does that work?
Yes, I've been always saying that Qaeda ISIS in Yemen is the same thing. And at least now, at least, this applies until now, until they kill each other, until they fight each other. Now there is no conflict. There is no fight between them. They are one thing now. They are united now. Qaeda and ISIS are united against Houthi, with American and Saudi support. They
so
are
you're saying
one
they,
thing now.
You're saying there are two groups with two separate leaderships, but they're just not in conflict.
Yes, not in conflict, and conflict at least. But if you want, I'll tell you why I am saying they are one. You know, because in Yemen, it's only United States has been able to kill as many as possible of the Al-Qaeda leaders. And every time they kill one leader, the people in the middle, or the middle rank people or operatives, would doubt who gave the information, who gave the Americans the tip about our leader and this and that. So they at the end they feel that they come to the conclusion that they are infiltrated. Al-Qaeda, I mean. Qaeda come, at the end of the day, they come to this conclusion that they are infiltrated by someone from inside, from within Yemen or outside, from inside Yemen or outside Yemen, but they didn't trust each other. So they say we should have new leadership, and they made a new leadership under the ISIS, because they say that ISIS is new fashion and new logo and new motto, and it will be okay. But for the goals, everybody knows that the goals of Al-Qaeda and ISIS are the same exactly the same thing. The same thing in terms of caliphate and in terms of making the one world, one Islamic world, and all these things. It's one thing. It's and also the savagery, the management of savagery. I mean, making a curse and making wars and all these things. The same procedures and same objectives and same goals. But in Yemen, at least they are not in conflict now, so they are one thing, especially now as they are fighting Houthi with Saudi and American support, direct support. So they are one thing. They don't care about anything. They have the refuge and they have the protection. Now, even when the drones, when the Trump drones come to the sky of Yemen, they know how to hide. They know how to mislead. They know how to give wrong information because they are fighting. They are fighting Houthi. They are fighting Iran, as they say. They are fighting Hezbollah, as they say, as they lie. So all these lies come from Saudi Arabia, and they help Qaeda ISIS to expand and recruit in Yemen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, so can you talk to us a little bit about the Southern Movement? Someone sent me some links, and I really should follow up on this, but I was reading a little bit about them, and what I can best I can tell, they're a socialist movement, and they always hated Saleh, and they hated him even more when he teamed up with the Houthis, and they want nothing to do with them, and they would rather secede and have North and South Yemen again. And then the thing that I read was by one of their spokespersons, I think, this woman. And she was saying, it was actually an interview of her, a transcript of an interview of her. And she was saying, yes, it's true that they are backed by the UAE and they welcome the UAE's help because that's the position they're in. I don't know. What's your take on them and their movement there? That's down in Aden, I guess.
After the death of Ali Abdullah Saleh, the disunity is very close. Very, very close. The separation is very close. And this is what this movement, this Southern Movement want. They want to separate the South from the North. And I think now they are closer than ever before after the death of Ali Abdullah Saleh. So let me tell you why it is so after the death of Saleh. They are closer to disunity, to separation, because United Arab Emirates was planning to break the back of Houthi by breaking the alliance, his alliance with Saleh. And they failed, as I told you, they failed in 48 hours. In 48 hours, Saleh was killed, and the alliance between Saleh and Houthi is not dead, but I mean, it's dead to United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. They didn't succeed to have anything. They didn't succeed to make the chaos in Sana'a and make its fighters enter Sana'a in hours. Nothing happened. Saleh was killed. Houthi became stronger and stronger than he was. Everything, the army, fighters, tribesmen, and everything is still with Houthi until now. Even Saleh's party. Saleh Sbati did not declare now he is separating from the alliance of Houthi. No. So Houthi until now at least is much stronger than he was. Even with the missiles hit the royal palace inside Riyadh and last week, as you know. United Arab Emirates, after this failure, they wanted to make another alliance or to make an alliance instead of the alliance with Saleh, because the alliance with Saleh has failed, of course. They didn't achieve anything. Saleh is killed. His body is still there, divided in Riyadh and everywhere. And the majority of it is here in Sana'a with Houthi. With Houthi, I mean, with the coalition, with the government, with the coalition government here in Sana'a. Still, nothing happened until now. So the United Arab Emirates wanted now, or Saudi Arabia in particular, wanted to make a reconciliation between United Arab Emirates and Brotherhood. Brotherhood, the enemy, the big enemy of United Arab Emirates is the Brotherhood. So after the death of Saleh, Saudi Arabia wanted to make an agreement or to make a reconciliation between United Arab Emirates and Brotherhood. And of course, Mohammed bin Zayed and Mohammed bin Salman and the leaders of Brotherhood, Yemeni Brotherhoods, they met in Riyadh in one meeting, but unfortunately that meeting failed and they didn't achieve anything. So until now, the problem is still there. And the movement, the southern movement, Al-Hiraq, the southern movement is getting closer and closer to the separation. And this is what is going to happen because Saudi Arabia could not make any improvement or could not make any kind of reconciliation between United Arab Emirates and Brotherhood, because the only party that Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates whom they can make ally in the ground in Yemen is the Brotherhood. So they need the Brotherhood to be their ally now, but United Arab Emirates is still refusing them and look at them as big enemy, as even dangerous than anyone, than Houthi, than Qaeda, than ISIS, than everyone. This is what the United Arab Emirates looks at the Brotherhood, and this is the problem that would make the separation a reality.
All right, and then lastly here, and I'm sorry for keeping you so long here today, but if you could talk about the cholera epidemic. The Red Cross says now it's 1 million people, the worst cholera epidemic in world history. And I think, you know, 1 million is such a round number. And I know that we've been counting up since last March. And I talked with Claire Monera from Doctors Without Borders, who told me, yes, it's going from tens to hundreds of thousands. But is that really right, 1 million people? And what is being done?
Nothing is being done at all. It's getting worse and worse, and Saudi Arabia is very happy. Saudi Arabia and their supporter, Trump, they're very happy to see such humanitarian things, because they see, Saudi Arabia sees these humanitarian things as a helper, as an auxiliary thing to help them to finish the war. So 1 million is nothing. 1 million people infected with cholera is nothing. And hundreds now getting infected with diphtheria is nothing. They just want more weapons like these diseases to help them to kill as many as possible of Yemenis to finish the war or to win the war. But they don't know that it is not. 3 years is a big evidence, or the hard evidence, that Saudi Arabia cannot win the war in Yemen, even if it keeps 10 years more, it can't win the war. And for the Houthis, they don't need to win the war. Houthis don't need to win the war. What they need is What they need is not to lose it, not to stop it. And this is the reality. So Houthi do not need to win the war. What they need is not to lose it, not to stop it. Saudi Arabia can't win this war, even if United States come with its all weight, because it's pointless. It's absurd. They didn't even achieve one single thing from the things they declared at the very beginning. The capital is still under Houthi, and the president, the so-called legitimate president, is still in Riyadh, and they can't even come to Aden, to the liberated places. So what they have achieved is only destroying and killing people and making Yemenis to eat from the garbage, unfortunately.
Yeah, and now that's the most important point here, too. This has been clear all along from the very beginning. We're now at 2.75 years here, right? Almost 3 years of this war. And the stated goal, they named this thing Operation Decisive Storm. You know, like it's just they're trying to make a parody out of it. Anyway, from the very beginning, it was clear that there was no way in hell they were going to be able, with an air war, to reinstall Hadi, the former vice president turned regime change president, there in power. That he had no support whatsoever and no ability to rouse at that time the Saleh and his army alliance with the Houthis and their rule over that city. And then, as you've said, with the death of Saleh, all those army divisions are under Houthi control anyway. They haven't lost any of that. So that hasn't changed. But from the very get-go, it's been clear that this war cannot, quote, work. There is nothing about the way the war is being waged that matches up to the stated goals at all. It never has been.
You know, do you know why? Let me just tell you at this point. Do you know why they can't win this war? Only because it's not about what they say at all. It's not about the legitimacy. It's not about Yemen. It's not about the interest even of Saudi Arabia and United States. It's just pointless. It's pointless war. It's not in the interest of anyone. It's right. Just a war of arrogance, war of children, and if I can say. It's because they Saudi Arabia fails every time. They failed in Iraq, they failed in Syria, they failed in Lebanon in a very, very funny way. The story of Lebanon is very funny, is a good example to tell people what Saudi wants. The Saudis want to tell people what to do and what not to do from a very good place and from superiority and all these things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even just look at the recent comparison of the air war in Libya. On the ground there, I mean, as Patrick Coburn, he was covering the war at the time, and he said, honestly, there's more reporters than there are militiamen here. But there are militiamen here. And in that case, they were Al-Qaeda veterans of Iraq War II. And it was clear then that this war is going to take longer than they thought, but it was also clear then that if NATO air power continues to provide air cover for these militiamen on the ground, that eventually this, you know, power in the east of the country will be able to eventually march west and sack Tripoli. That day was coming, and it was unavoidable. And yet, what do they have there in that war that they don't have in this war? Forces on the ground. Somebody to back. Right, they got Hadi's locked up in a hotel room in Riyadh, for Christ's sake. They don't have anyone to even install. They're just bombing.
3 years. 3 years in a hotel. 3 years. President, 3 years in a hotel. This never happened in history, that a president stays in a hotel for three years.
And I'm sorry. I mean, it's just a tragedy. It's the world's worst thing. And you know, Americans, listen up to this. Yeah, a million people with cholera, that's going in the history books forever. That's what the USA did to the poorest country in the Middle East, is doing right now.
And it's not even a news story because the news doesn't say it is. It's up to us to make that difference. It's got to be a bottom-up effort. And you know what? There is one, right? It just needs a boost. And I don't know. This is all I can do. I wish I had a better idea. But thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, most welcome, Scott. And thank you very much for your interest in Yemen and in protecting your country against all wars everywhere. Thank you very much, Scott.
All right. Thank you, sir. Talk to you again soon. All right, you guys, that is Nasser Arbi. And, you know, at the beginning, I didn't introduce him properly. He is a journalist, and he runs Yemen Now, Yemen Alon, and it's yemennow.com. I guess there's a hyphen, yemen-now.com. And, you know, read his old stuff for the New York Times about how the war against Al-Qaeda was backfiring way back when, before the current iteration of the war even started. All right, and you know me, I'm scotthorton.org for the show. And you can also find the show at libertarianinstitute.org, and a lot of great articles to read, me and Sheldon Richman's group there. And then there's antiwar.com. I'm the opinion editor there. Read the articles I want you to read there as well. Fool's Errand.us for my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Thanks, guys.